Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to Bhakta Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Har Grace Kalasudha Mataji to enlighten us on special topic Gaura Katha Seminar, Day 5. Hare Krishna Kalasudha Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Please take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you all so much for the opportunity.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we welcome you to day 5 of Shri Gaura Katha. So we stopped last Friday at the point where Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has just accepted sannyas. And at the bequest of Srimati Sachi Mata, he actually decided to make Nilachal Dham his headquarters, that he will stay as a sannyasi at Nilachal Dham. So today we will discuss a few of those leelas, and tomorrow we will discuss a few more of the later leelas of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and on Wednesday, on the day of Gaur Purnima, we'll have a very special katha. So we will, these next 3 days, this is how we will try to immerse our consciousness in preparation of this most auspicious event in our life, the appearance of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That Mahaprabhu is appearing day after tomorrow, and our hope, our aspiration, our desire is that Mahaprabhu chooses to arise in each and every one of our hearts also. He chooses to manifest in each and every one of our hearts. So let us, with that mood, try to prepare our hearts in welcoming Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right after he received sannyas, he actually wanted to leave for Vrindavan. He just wanted to go to Vrindavan. And it is explained that all the devotees were very, very emotional. They were crying tears of ecstasy. And Mahaprabhu just started walking along the banks of the Ganges. And Nityananda Prabhu, he knew that this was not the right time for Gauranga Mahaprabhu to visit Vrindavan. So what he did was that he had some little boys dress up as cowherd boys. And when Mahaprabhu would ask them for directions, Nityananda Prabhu said, point the other way. Point back to Navadvipa. So Nityananda Prabhu was following Lord Chaitanya. And whenever some kids, you know, ahead were asked by Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which way to Vrindavan, by the influence of Lord Nityananda, these little boys, they would direct Mahaprabhu, that way. And Mahaprabhu was completely in ecstasy, so he didn't know whether he was going east or west. He just started walking the other way. And Nityananda Prabhu, he had already positioned Srimad Advaita Acharya Prabhu
on the banks of the Ganges with a boat. And he said that that will be the point of Shantipur, where Advaita Acharya Prabhu's home is. And Nityananda Prabhu had made this prior arrangement with Advaita Acharya that you stand there at Shantipur on the Ganges with your boat and I'll bring Mahaprabhu. I'll bring him. But Advaita Acharya nodded. He said, okay, Avadhut Mahashaya, we'll do what you say. And Advaita Acharya was waiting, you know, with a boat, waiting for Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's arrival. And then, you know, Mahaprabhu was confused that how is Vrindavan coming so soon? You know, he's seeing these cowherd boys, they are all, you know, the mood of Vrindavan is getting created. The mood of Vrindavan is getting created. So Mahaprabhu was a little confused, but his ecstasy was so much that Mahaprabhu was just going in the flow. And he was, you know, and then Nityananda suddenly said, look, look, Mahaprabhu, this is the Jamuna. He pointed out to Ganga and he said that this is the Jamuna. And Mahaprabhu went mad in ecstasy and he just looked at the Ganges and he said, Jamuna, the dark colors of Jamuna has become saffron. It was actually the Ganga. So Mahaprabhu was saying, yes, yes, this is the Jamuna. And he just dived into the Ganges and said, oh, Jamuna, you are so fortunate that Krishna has frolicked in your pastime. And Nityananda Prabhu was standing on the banks and he was smiling, yes, yes, Krishna has frolicked in the waters of the Jamuna. But now the combined form of Radha and Krishna are frolicking in the waters of the Ganges. Jai Nitai Gaur Sitanath Premanande Hari Hari Bol. So much ecstasy Mahaprabhu was manifesting. And Mahaprabhu was dressed in just his saffron, you know, dhoti and his kopan and everything. When he dived into the Ganges, thinking of it to be as Yamuna, he got completely wet. The clothes got wet. His clothes got wet. So Nityananda Prabhu, you know, he had told Advaita Acharya to keep extra in a set of clothes. And then, as soon as Mahaprabhu came out of the Ganges, he saw Srimad Advaita Acharya standing over there and he said, Hari, Advaita Gosai, what are you doing here? And then Advaita Prabhu said, well, I'm just waiting to receive you, Mahaprabhu. Said, what are you doing in Vrindavan? You're supposed to be in Shantipur. What are you doing here in Vrindavan? And Advaita Acharya said, well, my dear Lord, wherever you are, your lotus feet is Vrindavan Dham. So this is Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu. This is Vrindavan. So I'm here to welcome you. Please, come sit in the boat, change your clothes, and just come with me. So Mahaprabhu's deep ecstasy, he started feeling that Nityananda had tricked him. And Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu, they anyway sat on the boat. Mahaprabhu changed his wet clothes. He, you know, changed into his dry clothes. And then, you know, to his surprise, he came to the house. And, you know, Advaita Acharya brought him to his own home in Shantipur. And Mahaprabhu looked at Nityananda, that, what have you done, Nitai? And then Nityananda said, don't worry, Mahaprabhu. You took sannyas. You know, you should come back over here and you should accept Mahaprasad at the house of a very, very great Vaishnav, this Advaita Acharya. Accept Prasad here, and then you can decide where you have to go. So come now. You have, you know, anyways, come here. So pacify yourself, just come inside. So then Sita Thakurani, it is said that, you know, there's very vivid description in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vaishnava Vrindavan Das Thakur, that the kind of bhoga offerings that Srimati Sita Thakurani made for Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to eat, it was unparalleled in this world. She made so many preparations. There were, you know, 7-8 kinds of shak. Shak means this green leafy vegetables. Different kinds of vegetables. Varieties and varieties of vegetables. You know, kushmando means pumpkin, and, you know, okra, bhindi, all of these sabjis, you know. Sita Thakurani had cooked up a huge, huge feast. So, hearing and seeing
you know, smelling all of this, you know, description of this bhoga, Mahaprabhu said, Advaita Gosai, I am a sannyasi. I cannot eat all these opulent Mahaprasad. How can I eat all this opulent Mahaprasad? I am a renunciant sannyasi. It is against my principles. So Advaita Gosai said, No, Mahaprabhu, it is our duty as householder that we have to offer a sannyasi beautiful Mahaprasad. So don't stop us in fulfilling our duty. You please sit down and we will serve you. So not being able to refuse the pure loving, you know, interaction, the reciprocation of love of Sri Advaita Gosai and Srimati Sita Thakurani, Mahaprabhu sat down to take prasad. And that beautiful, beautiful song, you know, Akadina Shanti Pure, Prabhu Advaita Raghare, Dui Prabhu Bhojane Boshilo. Who is the Dui Prabhu that Bhojane Boshilo? That is Nityananda Prabhu and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Dui Prabhu Bhojane Boshilo, Shak Kori Ashadan, Prabhu Bole Bhaktagon, Esha Krishna Ashadilo. Which means that as soon as Mahaprabhu just tasted one morsel of the shak that was cooked by Srimati Sita Thakurani, Mahaprabhu described that this shak has been tasted by Krishna himself. It is so tasty, so delicious. It is infected with Krishna prema. Then Mahaprabhu declared that a shak, Krishna Ashadilo. Ashadilo means tasted, that Krishna has tasted the shak. And Mahaprabhu said, Hano shako ashadane, Krishna premo ashimone. That by just simply eating the shak, our automatically our love for Krishna is automatically arisen in our heart. And shei premo koro ashadan, that you please should taste that prema. Everybody should taste that prema. And jado buddhi pariharo prasad bhajana kori hori hori bolo sarvajan. That this is the only way, simple means of deliverance in this Kali Yuga, that simply we can actually eat our way back to Godhead by tasting prasad that is cooked so lovingly by devotees, that is served so lovingly by devotees. And such prasad is honored with so much love. That prasad is guaranteed to give us pure Krishna prema. So this is the beauty of Mahaprabhu's leela, that how much, with so much love, Mahaprabhu was served, and with that equal love, Mahaprabhu reciprocated. He reciprocated with that same love. He glorified each and every preparation that Srimati Sita Thakurani had made. And it was actually at the house of Sri Advaita Acharya that it was decided. You know, in fact, Tachimata said that because Mahaprabhu actually wanted to go to Vrindavan, he just wanted to go to Vrindavan to spend his days in the loving pastimes of, you know, immersed in the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But Tachimata and the devotees, they were heartbroken that Mahaprabhu is going to be so far away from Nadia. How will the devotees survive? And the devotees were also thinking that, you know, going to Vrindavan is not Mahaprabhu's mission. So in order to fulfill all of that, Tachimata came up with this solution that, my dear Nimai, I want you to actually go to Nilachal Dham. Go to Nilachal Dham, because Nilachal Dham and Navadvip Dham, these two dhams are like the two rooms in the same house. So if you're in Nilachal Dham, then devotees can visit you. You know, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they can come to you. You can come whenever you wish to take bath in the Ganges. You can come to take bath in Ganga. And we can also come and see you. We will be close together. So please establish Nilachal Dham as your preaching headquarters. So Mahaprabhu immediately agreed, and then he started going towards Nilachal Dham. And it is said that when Mahaprabhu started walking, Sachimata, of course, was heartbroken when, you know, she was seeing her son walking away as the sannyasi. Then never looking back, Sachimata's heart was broken. But she had the strength that she was remembering her own daughter-in-law, Vishnupriya Devi, who was not even allowed to come. The entire town of Nadia had actually come to see Mahaprabhu and Shantipur at the home of Advaita Acharya, except for this one person, Vishnupriya Devi, who was so satisfied with her deity of Vishwambhar. She was so satisfied with Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu. But as a sannyasi, she knew that she could not go and see her husband. But she went on with her austere life. She went on to, you know, please Mahaprabhu and serve Mahaprabhu. And Sachimata, thinking of this beautiful daughter-like daughter-in-law, she had the strength to actually go back to Nadia to stay with Vishnupriya Devi and to see off Mahaprabhu. The entire town of Navadvip was crying when Mahaprabhu left West Bengal and he started his journey towards Utkal Pradesh, which is Jagannath Puri, Orissa. And when Mahaprabhu was going on the sides of the ocean, you know, the way he was walking, it is explained that Mahaprabhu, you know, visited the deity of Sakshi Gopal. He visited Hirchar Gopinath. He visited all these deities. And then he finally was arriving at Jagannath, you know, at the ocean of Niladri Hills. He was coming to the ocean. And when he came to the sandy banks of the ocean, he immediately was fainting. He was just running up the sandy, you know, ocean beach, and he was just, you know, singing Jagannath Swami Nayana Pathagami Bhavatumi, that, oh my Lord Jagannath, you are the only object of my vision. Jagannath Swami Nayana Pathagami Bhavatumi. Just by singing this one line, Mahaprabhu was running. He was running towards the temple of Lord Jagannath. And when he came, he just flung open the doors of Jagannath temple, and he just seeing the majestic form of Lord Jagannath, Balabhadra and Subhadra Devi, Lord Chaitanya just fainted in ecstasy. He fell like a stick. He fell in front of the Garbha Mandir of Sri Jagannath temple, right in front of Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya just fell down. And when he fell, all the Pandavas, the devotees of Lord Jagannath, they said, who is this golden sannyasi? Who is, and Mahaprabhu was just 24 years old. 24 years, Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. And he was such a dazzling personality. And like a golden, you know, mountain, clad in saffron clothes, Mahaprabhu just fainted in front of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. And at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is the head priest of Lord Jagannath's temple, he came, he just felt the pulse of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He couldn't find any pulse. He said, this young sannyasi, he left his body in front of the Lord. And suddenly there was no pulse in Mahaprabhu's body. And suddenly, Mahaprabhu just said, Jagannath, Jagannath, in his unconscious state. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he could immediately understand that this is a special personality. So it is said that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he was the head priest of Jagannath's temple, he actually had an underground passage connecting from his house to the Jagannath Mandir. It was a safe passage so that when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is coming from his home to serve Lord Jagannath, he doesn't have to go through any, you know, like going through the streets of Jagannath Puri and getting contaminated again, and then he has to go back to shower again. So in order to avoid that, the head priest's house always had an underground tunnel that connected from the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and to Jagannath Mandir. So there was an underground passage that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would walk every day to come to Jagannath Mandir, and through this passage, Mahaprabhu was taken. And we had the great fortune of actually seeing this passage from the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's amazing. It's just a small opening, and you know, he had to climb down a few steps and then walk his way towards Jagannath Mandir. Very special. It's almost like a 1.5 kilometer distance, that tunnel. That tunnel was constructed by Indradumna Maharaj, you know, so that the head priest always has direct access to the Garbha Mandir of Jagannath. Very, very special. Very special. So with that same tunnel, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought Mahaprabhu to his own home. And when he brought Mahaprabhu to his home, Nityananda Prabhu, of course, was, you know, following Mahaprabhu. And Gadadhar was there, and you know, many other devotees were there. Mukunda was there, everyone was there. They were all searching that where did Mahaprabhu suddenly go? Because Mahaprabhu was in so much ecstasy that he was not even waiting for the others to catch up with him. And these boys, they were roaming the streets of Puri that, have you seen a golden sannyasi? Have you seen a golden maddened sannyasi? And everyone saying, no, no, we didn't see, we didn't see. So then they finally came to the, you know, temple of Lord Jagannath, and there some pandas informed that he went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So these boys, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Prabhu, all of these boys, they went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Mahaprabhu was still in an unconscious state, and whispering the names of Hari in Mahaprabhu's ears brought back Mahaprabhu in his external consciousness. And we all know that in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, later on, you know, Mahaprabhu actually had that conversation with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. 7 days, 7 nights, Mahaprabhu had conversation with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It was not a conversation, actually. It was, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya talking about his Vedanta philosophy. And then, finally, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that, oh, my Tarun Sunnashi. Tarun Sunnashi means my youthful sannyasi. You are so beautiful. And you have been just sitting so idle. I have been talking all this bhashya, all this description of the Vedanta Sutras. You're not giving even one reaction to my bhashya, to my, you know, interpretation. What is your reaction? Can you tell me? And Mahaprabhu immediately said, Sarvabhauma Thakur, your vyakhya is bhul. Bhul means completely wrong. And Mahaprabhu described the famous Atmaram verse, you know, how, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was giving a Mayavad twist to it, but Mahaprabhu explained it in the context of the Vaishnava Siddhanta. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so, you know, it was a challenge to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that his interpretation is wrong. Mahaprabhu challenged him directly. And it is said that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got very angry. And he left, and he was fasting for that entire day, that entire night. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fasted. Mahaprabhu went to early morning to see Lord Jagannath the next day, and he brought back Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath. And he came and he flung open the door to Sarvabhauma's room, and he said, Sarvabhauma Thakur, I have brought Jagannath Mahaprasad. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he could understand by this time, because he had realization in his heart that this is no one other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, but Mahaprabhu, I have not even, you know, washed my mouth. I have not even taken my daily, you know, shuddhi snan. I have not done my bath. I have not done my rituals. I have not done anything. How can I take this Mahaprasad from you? At that time, Mahaprabhu said, you give me all your, you know, actions and reactions, give me all of that, I will take everything from you. You just accept this Mahaprasad from me. And while giving the Mahaprasad, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. At that time, Mahaprabhu revealed his Shadabhuj Mahaprabhu form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That he is none other than Krishna. You know, Shadabhuj means Krishna with Mahaprabhu with six arms. So two arms were that of Krishna holding the flute. Two other arms were of Lord Ramachandra, you know, one holding the bow, one holding the arrow. And the other two hands were that of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, one holding the Kamandalu and the other holding Japamala, you know, Sannyas Kamandalu and the Japamala. So in this way, Mahaprabhu revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that he is none other than Krishna himself. So in this way, Mahaprabhu, you know, revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya his form, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately, you know, became an ardent follower. And the Sankirtan in Jagannath Puri was revolutionized because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya accepted the supremacy of Mahaprabhu. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became such an ardent follower of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan that whenever Mahaprabhu would take out his Sankirtan party, at that time Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would go to everyone and say, "My dear brothers, chant. Chant the holy name. Just say Krishna from your mouth. Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." In this way, Mahaprabhu actually started the Sankirtan Yajna even in Jagannath Puri along with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So it is explained that one time Mahaprabhu wanted to go on a South Indian, because you know it is said that sannyasis should not stay in one place for too long. So Mahaprabhu said, "Okay, I will go on a yatra to South India to visit all the different holy places. You know, South India is rich in so much beautiful, you know, rich culture." So Mahaprabhu wanted to go and visit all these different, you know, Leela Sthalis. So Mahaprabhu went, he visited, you know, so he started his yatra, South India yatra from Kurmakshetra, where he met the Kurma Brahmana, you know. And the Kurma Brahmana was so impressed with Mahaprabhu that he wanted to leave his family and he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. And it was to him that Lord Chaitanya said, "Grihe theki karo Krishna," means you stay at house, be a householder. And whether you're in the house, whether you're, you know, as a traveling sannyasi, whatever position you're in, just preach Krishna consciousness. Jare dako tare kaho Krishna upadesh. That whoever you see, whoever you meet, wherever you go, just tell everyone to preach. Just tell everyone about Krishna. Amar agyai guru hoya taro edesh. That you can become a guru and deliver the people of this world. So that this was the instruction Mahaprabhu, famous, very famous instruction that Mahaprabhu gave to the Kurma Brahmana, that he stay as a householder and just share Krishna consciousness with everyone. And then Mahaprabhu went on. He went on to his South India Yatra. Of course, he had this beautiful conversation with Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari. Very, very beautiful conversation that he had with Ramananda Roy when Mahaprabhu used to ask, you know, Ramananda Roy that, "Please tell me, what is your understanding of the Vedanta Sutras?" And Ramananda Roy would speak. You know, he started from the very preliminary level. And then Mahaprabhu would say, "Iho bhajju," that this is external. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. They came to the Supreme Absolute Truth. And that's when Mahaprabhu was, you know, so pleased with the ultimate revelation that Ramananda Roy gave to Lord Chaitanya about everyone being the eternal servitor, eternal part and parcel of Krishna, that Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Ramananda Roy, he immediately manifested his form as non-different from Radha and Krishna. So Shri Krishna Chaitanya, no, Radha Krishna nahi anyan. This form was manifested. The combined Jugal Murti of Radha Krishna have combined as Sriman Gauranga Mahaprabhu was actually revealed to Ramananda Roy. And at that time, to Ramananda Roy, at the banks of the Godavari, Mahaprabhu revealed to Ramananda Roy that you should go leave your, you know, he was the minister to the, you know, King Pratapa Rudra. And Mahaprabhu told him that I want you to be in Jagannath Puri to help with my Sankirtan mission. So when Ramananda Roy came to Pratapa Rudra Maharaj and told him that, you know, this is what Gauranga Mahaprabhu has said, Pratapa Rudra Maharaj was actually, you know, even before he came to know that this sannyasi, Gauranga Sundara, he is here in Jagannath Puri because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the guru of Pratapa Rudra. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had this transformation of heart, that's when Sarvabhauma Thakur actually informed Maharaj Pratapa Rudra. Because, you know, he was the Kula Guru for Pratapa Rudra, and he said that, Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya is the one you should seek shelter of. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Pratapa Rudra Maharaj had been trying to get an audience with Mahaprabhu, but he was rejected. So we will continue with that, Pratapa Rudra's Leela, but he was rejected every time that he wanted to meet with Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu would say, I am a sannyasi. I cannot meet with you. He's a worldly king. I cannot meet with him. It's against the verdict of being a sannyasi. I cannot meet with him. So saying so, Mahaprabhu would every time he would, you know, send back the request of Maharaj Pratapa Rudra. So when Ramananda Roy, when he came to Maharaj Pratapa Rudra saying that Mahaprabhu has told me to give up everything and to go to Jagannath Puri, Pratapa Rudra Maharaj was so happy. He said that, my dear Ramananda, you should go immediately. Don't think about anything else. I will take care of everything. I will take care of you. I'll take care of your family. You will get full pension. Just go. Go and serve Mahaprabhu. Maharaj Pratapa Rudra didn't think at that time how we would have probably reacted with the narrow mind that we have. That we would have reacted that, oh, Mahaprabhu has been rejecting me, but he wants my minister? I won't let you go. He could have done that. It would have been very justified. But Pratapa Rudra Maharaj is a Vaishnava at heart. He has the pure heart, a golden heart of a Vaishnava. And the way the Vaishnava responds is exactly like this. That it's okay that I am not able to go, but you go. I'll make arrangements so that you can go. That was the golden heart of Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, which pleased. You know, this was a registry in the heart of Lord Chaitanya himself. Lord Chaitanya made a note that what Pratapa Rudra Maharaj did for Ramananda Roy. Mahaprabhu made a note of that. Mahaprabhu noticed that. He made a note. Although, you know, neither Ramananda Roy nor, you know, Pratapa Rudra Maharaj came and told Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya knew as the Paramatma in the heart that how Pratapa Rudra Maharaj responded to Ramananda Roy. And he was extremely pleased. Mahaprabhu was extremely pleased. And at this time, Mahaprabhu continued his journey towards South India. It is said that Mahaprabhu spent the 4 months of the Chaturmasya in the temple of Anantapadmanabha, and that's where he found, you know, rediscovered the chapters of the Brahma Samhita. And he stayed at Sri Rangam, you know, at the house of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And, you know, so there, Mahaprabhu, when he was staying at Sri Rangam, beautiful, beautiful pastimes, and he was very much attracted that right opposite the house of Gopal Bhatta Goswami was a beautiful temple of Lord Jagannath. It's still there till today. And very beautiful, you know, Lord Jagannath there looks like a South Indian. He has very beautiful pagri, you know, like a turban. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, very beautiful forms in that temple at Sri Rangam. And Mahaprabhu would visit every single day. He would go to this particular temple of Lord Jagannath, because he would feel so much separation from Utkal, from Nilachal Dham. So he would go and see Lord Jagannath every day, and he would go and visit the temple of Anantapadmanabha also. So like this, Mahaprabhu continued his South India Yatra, and here is when Mahaprabhu also met this very, very devoted devotee of the Bhagavad Gita. This old Brahmana who was studying the Bhagavad Gita, but it was upside down. And Mahaprabhu saw that this Brahmana, everyone who was passing by this Brahmana, even little children were ridiculing this Brahmana. That he's, oh, look at this, he's madman. He's reading the book upside down. But this Brahmana was profusely crying. And Mahaprabhu went and asked him, that, my dear Brahmana, why are you crying like this? You know, what is the reason? And the Brahmana said, my dear Guru Maharaj has actually told me to read the Bhagavad Gita, but I am an illiterate. I do not know how to study. So that's why I don't even know whether I'm holding the book upside down or when I'm holding the book straight. I don't know. And then Mahaprabhu said, okay, I understand that, but why are you crying? And then to that, Mahaprabhu, this Brahmana said to Mahaprabhu, that I'm crying because look at this picture at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna has taken this position of being the chariot driver of Arjuna. It's such a menial position. Chariot driver means that, you know, when, especially for a warrior, if you're the chariot driver for a warrior, it's a very, 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 you know, heinous task. Because the way the warrior communicates with the chariot driver in the midst of a battle is that when he's shooting arrows and doing all his war, at that time he can't tell the chariot driver, hey, by the way, I want you to take a right, I want you to take a left, or I want you to go straight. The way he communicates with the chariot driver is that the warrior, if he wants the chariot to go right, he kicks on the right shoulder of the chariot driver with his legs. If he wants the chariot to go left, he kicks on the left shoulder of the chariot driver. If he wants the chariot to move ahead, then he kicks at the center of the chariot driver. So this Brahmana told Mahaprabhu that, Mahaprabhu, Krishna is so kind. He is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He is Bhakta Vatsala. That for his devotee, he was ready to take on the kick of his own devotee by being the chariot driver. So seeing this mercy, seeing this love, seeing this compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I cannot help but cry. And Mahaprabhu embraced this Brahmana and said, you have truly understood the actual import of the Bhagavad Gita. You've understood the Bhagavad Gita. So like this, Mahaprabhu went on with his journey of South India. Many, many more pastimes happened in South India. And then finally, Mahaprabhu came to the west coast of India. It is in fact said that Mahaprabhu, he visited the city which is currently known as Mumbai today. It was in those days known as Mumbra Devi. That was the name that was, you know, this city was called. And Mahaprabhu is said to have visited this particular temple of Lord Shiva, which is the Babul Nath Mandir. Babul Nath Mandir is a very, very famous temple of Lord Shiva, very, very, you know, old, ancient temple of Lord Shiva. And Lord Chaitanya went there to offer his respects. And it is, you know, this Babul Nath Mandir is a two-minute walk from Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, Sri Chapati Dham. And Srila Radhanath Swami Guru Maharaj, he explains that Mahaprabhu's lotus feet must have definitely crossed, you know, this area where Chapati Temple, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, where it stands today, Mahaprabhu's lotus feet must have crossed this area because, you know, he went across this area to go to Babul Nath Mandir. That is Dham. That is, you know, the place where Mahaprabhu's, the dust of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet is there. So next time we visit Chaupati Dham, we should make sure that along with the darshan of Shri Radha Gopinath, we should remember this pastime that Mahaprabhu's, you know, dust of his lotus feet is there in that area, and try to make it a point to go and visit this Babulnath Mandir. Very beautiful temple of Lord Shiva, very ancient. You know, when you, as soon as you go there, it's just, you know, we can understand, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we can understand that, yes, Mahaprabhu has definitely been here. You know, you can feel the vibrations. It's very, very, very powerful. And then from the west of India, then Mahaprabhu came straight back to Jagannath Puri because it was time for the Rath Yatra. So Mahaprabhu came back in time for Gundicha Marjana, the cleansing of the temple of Lord Jagannath. And Gundicha Marjana, Mahaprabhu actually says that, you know, just like, you know, he actually taught the devotees personally how to cleanse the temple. And he said that when we cleanse the temple, clean it as if you're cleaning your own heart. So the fine cracks on the floor, the fine cracks on the walls, you know, just wash it with buckets and buckets of water so that not even a speck of dust is remaining. And that's how we should cleanse our heart, so that Mahaprabhu can find it fit enough so that he can make his permanent residence in the region of our heart. So Gundicha Marjana Leela was very beautifully executed by Mahaprabhu, and then finally the time for Rath Yatra had come. And during Rath Yatra, Mahaprabhu actually organized, you know, the devotees from Gaudiya Desh, from Bengal, had come with Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu had, you know, when Nityananda Prabhu was actually wanting to stay back with Mahaprabhu. This is another very important, before the South India Leela, before Mahaprabhu went to South India Leela, Nityananda Prabhu wanted to stay back in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya. He didn't want to go back. But Mahaprabhu instructed Nitai and he said, "My dear Nitai, you are extremely dear to me. It will be a very, very difficult for me to stay away from you. But I want you to go back to Gaudiya Desh." Gaudiya Desh is Bengal. "So I want you to go back to Gaudiya Desh, and I want you to do what I was unable to do. I was unable to give Krishna Prem to the people of Gaudiya Desh. So I want you to go back and preach to the people of Bengal. Please go and do that." It is said, it is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Nityananda Prabhu, when he heard this from Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu was quiet. He didn't say a word at that time. But after a year, when Nityananda Prabhu came with the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from Gaudiya Desh, he had brought back with him thousands upon thousands of devotees from Bengal to participate in the Rath Yatra, but most importantly, to come and get the blessings of Mahaprabhu. And when Nitai met with Mahaprabhu, it is explained that Nitai came and told Mahaprabhu that he offered his obeisances, both the brothers, you know, embraced each other, and Nitai presented each and every soul he introduced them when they came and offered their obeisances to Mahaprabhu. Nitai was introducing these souls to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was so pleased that, "Nitai, what I was not able to do, you did it. You made so many devotees from Gaudiya Desh." And Nitai said, "Mahaprabhu, when you told this to me last time, I was quiet. I did not say a word back to you because I wanted to show it to you in action that whenever I am talking, whatever I am doing, it's not me who is doing that. It is your potency, Mahaprabhu. I don't exist if I don't have you with me. You are inside of me, and when I speak, it is your words that are coming out. So these people who you think that I have made devotees, it's not me. It's you who have made them devotees. And that is what I wanted to tell you, that although you were sending me away that go and make devotees in Gaudadesh, it would actually be you who is making devotees in Gaudadesh. It's not me. I am just an instrument in your hands, Mahaprabhu. You just used me the way you wanted fit. It is your doing. It's got nothing to do with me. Nityananda Ram, Sri Adi Guru, was talking like this. And he was, you know, owning it up to Mahaprabhu that any preaching that we do, Nityananda Prabhu was setting an example right here, that anybody who thinks that they are doing great preaching services, they are in the greatest of illusion. Because we won't be able to speak anything without the sanction of Mahaprabhu. We don't have any qualification. Lord Chaitanya has said, Prithivite ache joto nagaradi gram sarvatra pracharito hoibe mor naam. This verdict that in every town and village my name will be chanted. This is a verdict given, it's a prediction given by Mahaprabhu, which was fulfilled by our very dear Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada fulfilled this prediction of Mahaprabhu. But Srila Prabhupada never said that I did it. He said that I've done it. It is actually Mahaprabhu's words that Mahaprabhu himself has fulfilled, and we are all just simple instruments in the hands of Mahaprabhu. That is the mood. That is the mood of every devotee. And Nityananda Prabhu was setting the standard that we all should follow. As Adi Guru, Mahaprabhu is, you know, setting that kind of, Nityananda Prabhu is setting that kind of standard for all of us to follow. So never have the pride that we are doing something great. We should never ever forget that whatever little we are doing is simply the manifestation of what our gurus, what Srila Prabhupada and what Lord Nityananda and Mahaprabhu want us to do. They are just using us in their preaching mission. That is the mood. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu embraced each and every devotee from coming from Gaudadesh, and he was so happy to see all of these devotees. And Mahaprabhu, when the day came of the Rath Yatra, Mahaprabhu was organizing all the devotees in different kinds of services. He actually organized 7 different kirtan groups that would be placed in 7 different positions, 7 different positions around the Rath Yatra cart, doing beautiful, beautiful kirtans. You know, Mahaprabhu had personally selected who will be the lead singer. Mahaprabhu had personally selected who will be the lead mridanga player, the karthal player, the dancers. Everything Mahaprabhu had handpicked that who are going to be doing all of these different services. And the beautiful time of Rath Yatra finally came. And coming back to Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Maharaj Pratap Rudra would actually keep sending messages that, please, Mahaprabhu, grant me audience. Please, I want to come and see you. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you know, different other devotees, they would all come and say, why are you not giving your mercy to this, you know, to this beautiful, you know, king? He is wanting to see you. Give him your audience. And Mahaprabhu would say, no. If I do that, then I cannot uphold myself as a sannyasi. He is actually a king. And for as a sannyasi, to associate with a king is not advisable. So I cannot. I just cannot. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually said that, why don't you give your mercy to his son at least? To the son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Mahaprabhu agreed to that. And the devotees, headed by Advaita Acharya, it is said that they dressed up this son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, who was a little boy, and they dressed him up as Krishna, with a beautiful peacock feather in his hair, and dressed him up in silk, yellow silk garments. And they came, and they brought this, you know, beautiful son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, and seeing this beautiful son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Mahaprabhu was so much in ecstasy. He was immediately reminded of Krishna, and he just helplessly went and embraced the son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And immediately the son was infested with Krishna prema, getting the transcendental embrace of Mahaprabhu. And it is said that when the son was brought back to the palace of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, when Maharaj Pratap Rudra hugged and embraced his son, he felt the same ecstasy. He got the same Krishna prema that his son was imbued with just by hugging his own son. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra's heart was filled with ecstasy. He was so grateful. It is also explained that Advaita Acharya Prabhu one day arranged to get a little, you know, cloth, a piece of cloth, of the, you know, torn cloth of Mahaprabhu's, you know, one of his old copins. And when that was given to Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Maharaj Pratap Rudra put it on his head and he said that, "I am at least getting the paraphernalia of the Lord." And he started keeping it on his altar and worshipping it as non-different as Krishna, non-different as Mahaprabhu. That was the level of devotion of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So when the Rath Yatra is about to start, it is tradition that the king would come and sweep like a normal sweeper. He would come and sweep the street of Jagannath Puri and before the chariot would pass. So carrying a golden broom in his hand, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, with great devotion, with lot of love in his heart, with great humility, he started performing the sweeping service in front of Lord Jagannath. And Mahaprabhu, it is said that he actually noticed this menial service that Maharaj Pratap Rudra rendered with all of his heart. He never at one point thought that I am the king and how can I do this lowly service of sweeping the street of Puri. And that was the point that Mahaprabhu decided that I will give my mercy to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And Mahaprabhu was extremely pleased by the genuine humility of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So then, you know, Mahaprabhu, you know, the Rath Yatra started and Mahaprabhu started, you know, putting all the seven, you know, kirtan groups in position and they were all having ecstatic kirtan. And it is said that Mahaprabhu personally expanded into seven forms and he was simultaneously dancing in each of those seven groups. And this particular vision of Mahaprabhu dancing in all the groups simultaneously, a few devotees were revealed the secret. Everyone was thinking, oh, Mahaprabhu has chosen our group. He is dancing with us. There were just very, very hand-selected devotees who knew that Mahaprabhu was dancing simultaneously in all of the groups. And one of them was Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Pratap Rudra Maharaj was revealed that Mahaprabhu is dancing in all the seven groups. He could see Mahaprabhu dancing in all the seven groups. And when Lord Jagannath, you know, with his compassionate eyes, when Jagannath was seeing the form, the golden form of Mahaprabhu, dancing in ecstasy in front of him. You know, both are forms of Krishna. Jagannath is also in the form of Krishna, but Krishna who is separated from Srimati Radharani. Jagannath is, you know, absorbed in separation from Srimati Radharani. That is the mood of Lord Jagannath. And that is why Krishna, who is in the mood, you know, who is absorbed in the separation of Srimati Radharani, he is going to Vrindavan to meet with his beloved Srimati Radharani. That is Krishna. Jagannath is Krishna, but he is separated from Srimati Radharani. And here is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is the personification of Srimati Radharani, the golden form of Srimati Radharani, who is separated from her beloved Krishna. So this is the union of Srimati Radharani and Krishna in a very, very transcendental way. And just seeing the golden form of, you know, Srimati Radharani, like Mahaprabhu, dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath was mesmerized. And he was so much mesmerized that he just stood frozen. And Lord Jagannath's chariot did not move for days together just to witness the ecstatic dancing of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Jagannath just couldn't move. So it is explained like this, that Rath Yatra was just going on, it was not ending. And all the devotees, they were actually, you know, especially Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, these two devotees, they were thinking in their heart that we have to make sure that somehow or the other, Mahaprabhu gives his mercy to this Maharaj Pratap Rudra. He is so sincere. He is so genuine. He deserves the mercy of the Lord. So then, when Lord Jagannath, his chariot was frozen, it was, you know, so many days had passed, Jagannath was just not moving. So Jagannath's chariot was parked, you know, in front of the Jagannath Vallabh Garden, which is on the road. Very beautiful garden. That garden is almost like Vrindavan. And when Mahaprabhu, you know, was so tired after his dancing, it is said that all the devotees, they took Mahaprabhu and, you know, ushered him into this beautiful garden. And Mahaprabhu went to rest in this Jagannath Vallabh Gardens. He was very, very tired. So he went to take rest in this Jagannath Vallabh Gardens, and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya and all the other devotees, they came to Maharaj Pratap Rudra and said, this is the time. This is the moment, Pratap Rudra Maharaj, that you have to give up being a Maharaj. Give up your kingly attire and take on the dress of a mendicant. Of a beggar, you take on the dress of a beggar and come and, you know, we'll tell you what you should do, but just give up your kingly attire first. So immediately, Maharaj Pratap Rudra didn't think twice. He just removed his crown, he removed his kingly dress, and then Nityananda Prabhu, you know, draped him in Harinam Chadar and, you know, put on beautiful tilak on him and, you know, dressed him like, you know, a poor mendicant. And Nityananda Prabhu said, go to Mahaprabhu, go over there and start massaging the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Massage the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And while you're massaging the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, sing this Gopi Geet. Sing the Gopi Geet and Mahaprabhu will become maddened with ecstasy and he will give you the most valuable treasure that you are waiting for, you will get it. Just go and do what I have said. So following the instructions that the Adi Guru, Sri Nityananda Ram, gave to Pratap Rudra Maharaj, Maharaj Pratap Rudra came very, very lovingly, very, very devotedly he came, very humbly, very meek. He came and he started gently massaging the divine golden lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, his sannyas vastra, you know, it is explained that Mahaprabhu would wear his sannyas vastra just till below his knee. So his, you know, the calf muscles of Mahaprabhu and his beautiful lotus feet would always be very, very visible. So Mahaprabhu's sannyas vastra would just come down till below his knee, and Mahaprabhu was lying down. And when he was lying down, his sannyas vastra came just till his knee. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra, from Mahaprabhu's calf muscles to his reddish lotus feet, Maharaj Pratap Rudra was gently, gently massaging the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And while massaging the calf muscles, and the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu on the instructions that Nityananda Ram gave to Mahaprabhu to do Pratap Rudra. Pratap Rudra Maharaj started singing these beautiful verses of Sri Gopi Gita. He started singing Tava Katha Amritam Prapta Jivanam Kavi Bhiriditam Kalma Shapaham Shravana Bandhanam Shri Madhatatam Bhuvi Grinandhiye Bhuri Dajanam. Pratap Rudra Maharaj, with so much humility, he started reciting these beautiful verses of Sri Gopi Geet. Mahaprabhu was swooning in ecstasy, and when he heard this line, Bhurida Jana, Mahaprabhu just got up immediately and he embraced Pratap Rudra tightly to him. And he said, Bhurida, Bhurida, that you, my dear Pratap Rudra, you are the supreme most welfare worker. You are coming and giving me this ambrosial nectar of the separation that the gopis felt in separation from Krishna. You are the greatest welfare worker. You are my well-wisher. And saying like this, Mahaprabhu was embracing and giving so much mercy to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And it seemed as if in the golden embrace of Mahaprabhu, Maharaj Pratap Rudra was literally melting. He was melting in the embrace of Mahaprabhu. So much love. And all the devotees, they were so happy, so blissful, so ecstatic that finally Mahaprabhu has given his mercy to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. They were all in ecstasy. Maharaj Pratap Rudra was so happy and he fell down at the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu again picked him up and again embraced him. And he said, Maharaj, you are my dear, dear, dearly beloved servant. So this is how Mahaprabhu continued his Rath Yatra pastime. So this is one highlight I wanted to share with all of you. From this pastime of Maharaj Pratap Rudra is somehow very, very close to my heart. And I'd like to continue for a little while longer. I know we've already completed an hour, but if it is okay with the organizers, if I have your permission, I would like to continue a little bit more.
Sure, Mataji, please. Mataji, please go ahead.
Thank you. So, after the Rath Yatra was over, it is explained that Mahaprabhu finally wanted to visit Vrindavan. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. And while going to Vrindavan, of course, Mahaprabhu went through Jharkhand. We all know what happened in Jharkhand. Then Mahaprabhu made the tigers, the elephants dance, and they were embracing each other. Everyone became friends. Mahaprabhu made the tigers and the elephants dance. You know, whenever I say this particular pastime of Jharkhand, I always am reminded of a very, very beautiful pastime. It happened one time in Radha Gopinath Mandir, at Radha Gopinath Mandir, that His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj, who used to, you know, preach very, very strongly in USSR, in Russia, in those days. And those days, you know, the KGBs, they were very, very apprehensive that what are the Hare Krishnas doing. So this particular lecture was, you know, first Srila Raghunath Swami Guru Maharaj spoke he spoke on the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And then he requested Niranjan Maharaj, Sri Ranath Maharaj requested Niranjan Maharaj to speak. And Niranjan Maharaj was, you know, speaking, and then he suddenly said that, you know, I also want to read a few letters. And he was telling, about the preaching in Russia. And he said that when I go for these different pandal programs, you know, Russia, in those days when Maharaj was going, there was no registered ISKCON center there, but, you know, they would organize huge pandal programs for him. And, you know, there were people who would come in, thousands upon thousands of people would come to hear to Maharaj's class. And when there would be kirtan, there would be ecstatic kirtan, the entire pandal, you know, the tent and, you know, the building would shake with so much uproarious kirtan. And then some devotees at that time, it seems, they approached Maharaj. And because Maharaj was seeing that there were some people who were standing at the back and who were also, you know, dressed as devotees. But Maharaj asked that, you know, are these new people? He asked some local devotees while the kirtan was going on. And those local devotees came and laughed and told Niranjan Maharaj, and Maharaj, those are actually KGB agents. And they are dressed as Vaishnava with tilak, with japamala, as dhoti kursa. And they came to just spy on what is going on in the program. So, and they would, you know, so when the kirtan is going on, they would also raise their hands and dance in ecstasy. They would also jump in ecstasy. So then at that point, I remember Srila Guru Maharaj, he actually made the comment. He said, Lord Chaitanya made the tigers and the elephants dance, and you made the KGBs dance. You know, it's very, very beautiful. So whenever I talk about Jharkhand and Mahaprabhu's making of the tigers and the elephants dance, I remember Niranjan Maharaj and the interaction between Srila Guru Maharaj and Niranjan Maharaj, that how Niranjan Maharaj made the KGBs dance. You know, this is the glory of how Mahaprabhu's glory and how Mahaprabhu's prediction of Prithivite Ache Jato Nagar Adigram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Mor Naam, that in every town and village, the name of Krishna will be resounded. And this is possible because of, you know, ardent followers of Srila Prabhupada like Srila Niranjan Maharaj and so many other of our Guru Vargas who are tirelessly preaching just to become an instrument in the hands of Gauranga Mahaprabhu to fulfill this, you know, verdict of Sriman Mahaprabhu. So just wanted to share that little, you know, beautiful, sweet pastime. So Mahaprabhu, he crossed the Jharkhand forest, and then he finally stepped into the most holy land of Sri Braj. Brajabhumi Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. And Mahaprabhu, when he came to Vrindavan, Vrindavan was not like we see today. It was not the way that, you know, how we see with our own eyes today, the city of Vrindavan. It was not like that. You know, the temples, the temples of, you know, hardly anything was there. Hardly anything. So Mahaprabhu actually, he had instructed Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, that they should go to Vrindavan and to revive. After Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan, when he came back to Puri, he sent the Shraddha Goswamis of Vrindavan to revive the lost holy places of Vrindavan, to re-manifest them, and to also write, you know, scriptures, literatures, on the basis of the teachings that Mahaprabhu had given to them. So, you know, the Shraddha Goswamis of Vrindavan, the six Goswamis, they came and they revived the lost places, but Mahaprabhu himself revived two holy places. Very, very beautiful, important holy places to our Sampradaya is Sri Shamakund and the topmost place, Sri Radhakund. So Mahaprabhu actually discovered Sri Radhakund. You know, it is said that Mahaprabhu was walking when he came to see Giriraj Govardhan to do the parikrama of Sri Giriraj. He just ran like a madman towards Giriraj Govardhan. And he just came and embraced the shilas of Giri Govardhan. And Giri Govardhan started crying tears of ecstasy, getting embraced by the combination of Radha and Krishna in the form of Mahaprabhu. There was so much ecstasy going on between both these personalities. And when Mahaprabhu did the parikrama, by the time when he came near Shyamakund and Radhakund, that time there was only rice paddy field in these two areas. And Mahaprabhu, he actually knew that this is Radhakund. He is Srimati Radharani herself. So she knew where her kunda is. And Krishna is also there with Mahaprabhu. So he knew where is Shyamakund. So Mahaprabhu just cleared out some of the paddy and he could see the water. And he lifted up the waters of the Radhakund and he offered oblations back into the waters of Radhakund by reciting this beautiful mantra. Yatha Radha Priya Vishnu Tasyam Kundam Priyam Tatha Sarva Gopisha Saivaika Vishnur Atyanta Vallabha. This is the beautiful mantra that whenever we take our bath in Radhakund, we recite this mantra by which Mahaprabhu himself worshipped Radhakund. And then he took his dip in Radhakund, in that rice paddy field. Then he got up, he came to the other side where Shyamakund is. He again, offered his obeisances to Shyamakund. He took his, three dips in Shyamakund. Then he came back again and he again entered the waters of Radhakund and he again took three dips in Radhakund. Again offered oblations into the waters of Radhakund by reciting the mantra and then he came out of the waters. So this is how even we take bath. It is said that yes, we should not, some say that we should not just take bath in the waters of Radhakund. No, we should take bath, but we should not frolic in the waters of Radhakund. But we should be very respectable when we take waters because it is the liquid form of Srimati Radharani. It is the liquid form. Shyamakund is the liquid form of Krishna. So we should definitely take bath, but in the way that Mahaprabhu showed to us, that first in Radhakund, just take three dips, offer, water back, go to Shyamakund, take three dips, come out, again go back into Radhakund, and this is how we take bath in Shyamakund and Radhakund. So Mahaprabhu revealed that with his own personal example, and then Mahaprabhu came back to the village of Vrindavan, and it is said that Mahaprabhu would stay, most of his time, Mahaprabhu would stay at this very, very famous and beautiful, under a tree actually, which was the Imli Tala. Imli Tala, Imli means tamarind. So Mahaprabhu would, sit under this tamarind tree and he would actually, meet with the Brajabasis. He would chant for hours together under this tree. And he would, many of the Brajabasis would actually come and meet with Mahaprabhu. So that place came to be famously known till today as Mahaprabhu's Boitok. Boitok means place where Mahaprabhu used to sit, just under this Imli Tala. There, actually, Mahaprabhu's lotus footprint is also there. Very beautiful temple. And in fact, today, there's a very beautiful Gaudiya Math, right there. That particular area where Imli Tala is was purchased by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his disciples, and they constructed a Gaudiya Math over there. Very beautiful, very, very beautiful. Now, the glories of this Imli Tala, this tamarind tree, is that one time when there was the Sharad Ras Purnima going on, that Krishna was, in the Rasa dance with, all the gopis, with Srimati Radharani. They were having a very beautiful Rasa Leela pastime. Srimati Radharani, in order to tease Krishna, showed external anger that Krishna was definitely with her. He was dancing with her, but she knew that he was also dancing with the other gopis. And to show some external anger, she disappeared from that Rasa dance. She just disappeared. And when Srimati Radharani disappeared, Krishna could not tolerate that separation from Srimati Radharani. And it is said that sitting under this tamarind tree, Krishna started remembering and taking the names of Radha, he just started calling out, "Hey Radha Swamini, my Swamini Radha Thakurani, please, please come back to me. Without you, I am lifeless, O Radhe. Please, please come back to me. Please appear in front of my eyes. Please come back. Please come back to me." So like this, Krishna, when he was so much absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radharani, it is said that Krishna's Shama Varna, the black complexion of Krishna, was becoming golden, just like Srimati Radharani. Because he was so much deeply connected with Sri Radhe, he was developing her complexion. And just, you know, seeing that Krishna was almost about to give up his life in separation from Srimati Radharani, she immediately approached. She immediately manifested right there, right next to Krishna, and she touched Krishna on his cheek. Like this. And as soon as Srimati Radharani's golden hands touched the golden form of Krishna, immediately from there, the black complexion came back to Krishna. And Sri Radhika asked that, "Kanha, what happened to you? How come you had the golden complexion?" And Krishna immediately opened his eyes. He embraced Srimati Radharani and said, "Radhe, never ever leave me. In your separation, I had just taken on your mood and your golden complexion, and that's why I became golden. But never leave me again." And then Radharani said, "No, no, Krishna, I will never leave you. But that form of yours was very enchanting," Radhe said, "that it was so beautiful, so nice to see you in a golden form." And Krishna said, "Yes, yes, I will come back. In this golden form, taking your mood, I will come back in Kali Yuga." And then they continued on with their pastimes. And this Pumnitala also happens to be that same tree that one day when Srimati Radharani had dressed herself up very beautifully, you know, and it is said that Sudevi Gopi, one of the Ashtasakhis, she would greet with great care, she would take, you know, she would draw beautiful designs on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani using the alta, the red dye, the red liquid dye. And she, with that, she would make beautiful, intricate, you know, designs on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Because, you know, Sudevi Gopi knew that Krishna is very fond of, you know, caressing the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. He loves to do that. And especially when Radharani's feet is very nicely decorated, that would please Krishna. So in that mood, Srimati Sudevi Gopi would take extra care in doing intricate designs with alta at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani, she was getting very late, you know, because she was getting so nicely dressed up and all that. She was getting very late, so she was running towards Krishna, and she came across through this Imli Tala, this tree, this tamarind tree. And just below this tamarind tree, there was a ripened tamarind fruit. And this ripened tamarind fruit touched, you know, it was a little greedy, the tamarind fruit was a little greedy to get the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And it touched the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And as soon as it touched, because of the sourness that is there in the tamarind, that part of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, the dye, the alta, the red dye, faded out because of the sourness. And Srimati Radharani was, you know, very upset that you, tamarind, because of you, you came to my feet. Because of you, now Krishna will see there's a distortion in the design, the intricate design that Sudevi did on me. And, you know, I got late because of that, and now you spoiled it. Why did you spoil it? I am so angry with you. I'm so upset with you. So now I curse you that in this Churasi Krosh, you know, the 84 koshas of Brajamandal, not even one tamarind will ever ripen. That is my curse. So this tamarind was very happy that, oh,
okay, great, I will not have to ripen, because if the tamarind would ripen, then they would have to be taken out of Braj. You know, they would get sold somewhere else and all of this would happen. So the tamarind was an ecstasy that, oh, I will never have to leave Braj because I'll never get ripened. So I'm so happy. So although it was a curse, but Srimati Radharani, it was her way of keeping all the tamarind in Braj itself, so that not even another soul has to leave Brajadham. So in this way, you know, this glory of this Imli Tala is extremely important to us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Mahaprabhu, when he went to Vrindavan, in this same mood that, you know, how Krishna, he was sitting on the, you know, shade, under the shade of the tamarind tree, and he was remembering Srimati Radharani. So at that time, here, as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you know, in the body of Srimati Radharani, and with the mood of Srimati Radharani, Krishna was remembering Krishna. Like Radharani was remembering Krishna. So, you know, and he would chant, Mahaprabhu would chant, and he would just be in so much separation from Krishna. So one time, I remember Srila Jayaprakasa Maharaj, he said, Srila Guru Maharaj was saying to us when, you know, we were doing parikrama of Imli Tala, he said that the way that we can beg for blessings from Imli Tala, this tamarind tree, it's very, very glorious for us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Because Mahaprabhu, you know, first of all, Krishna chanted here in separation of Srimati Radharani, and Radharani manifested. When Mahaprabhu came here, he chanted under this very same tree. Our Guru Vargas, you know, many of our Acharyas have chanted under this tree. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself, you know, he has done so much tapasya and so much of his sadhana under Krishna Chaitanya, under this tree. So I remember Srila Jayaprakasa Goswami Guru Maharaj was saying to us that when we pray in front of this tree, we should pray that we can also develop some attraction to the holy name, and that the holy name manifests its, you know, attraction towards us. Little bit of taste can develop on our tongue so that we can also try to chant in separation from Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the Vipralambha mood of Mahaprabhu that Mahaprabhu had taught us. So like this, Mahaprabhu spent his days in Vrindavan, a few days in Vrindavan, did these glorious discoveries of Radhakund and Shyamakund, and then he came back to Nilachal Dham. And when Mahaprabhu came back to Nilachal Dham, the final pastime of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Nilachal Dham, we will discuss tomorrow. So we will end here today. Jai Shriman Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna, if there's any questions or comments, reflections, you can begin now. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there anybody having any more questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Mataji, I just have a question. Like in one of your classes, you had mentioned that Indradyumna Maharaj had asked from Jagannath boon where the king will not have any son. Then how come Pratap Rudra Maharaj had a son, Mataji?
Well, Pratap Rudra Maharaj did have a son. But, you know, the reason why Indradyumna Maharaj had actually asked that, you know, we will be having no lineage is because, you know, his mood was that no one should claim that, you know, Jagannath is their own property. But Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, he was not a direct descendant of Maharaj Indradyumna, but again, he had a son, but his son never, you know, claimed that Jagannath is his property. Neither did Maharaj Pratap Rudra ever claim that, you know, because Maharaj Pratap Rudra is not a direct descendant of Maharaj Indradyumna. So, you know, his son had no claim to the throne also, neither to the property of Lord Jagannath. So in that sense, you know, Maharaj Pratapudra himself is not a descendant of Maharaj Indradyumna, direct descendant of Maharaj Indradyumna. So does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. And Dandavat Pranam, Mataji.
Thank you.
Mataji, thank you so much, Mataji, for beautiful class, Mataji. Mataji, I have one question. Mataji, Lord Chaitanya showed how many times that six puja form, Mataji?
How many times?
Yeah, is another time also he did, because we were teaching to the kids class. We got from Mataji one book from Mataji only. She was telling when he showed the six puja form in when he made first time with Nityananda Prabhu. Is it that also, Mataji?
Actually, during you know, in the house of Advaita Acharya, in the Navadvip Leela, with Nityananda Prabhu being present there, you know, he had displayed the six armed form there also. He had even, you know, showed the Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, the form that he showed to Ramananda Roy, he had revealed even in Navadvip. So in Navadvip, Mahaprabhu had revealed everything, actually. And so the Shadbhuj Mahaprabhu form, the Radha Krishna form, and also, you know, Krishna speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, that form, the universal form, all of that was revealed in the home of Advaita Acharya to some confidential devotees. So yes, Mahaprabhu did reveal all of this before.
Okay, Mataji. Okay, thank you so much, Mataji, for beautiful class, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, Gauri Srila Prabhupada, thank you so much for such a beautiful, wonderful class, Mataji. I have one question.
Yes.
You said that how Mahaprabhu, you know, you were, when you were talking about Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra Maharani's deities and Sri Rangam, and you said that Mahaprabhu would go and worship them because he was feeling separation. So, wasn't these deities were actually carved by Mahaprabhu himself?
I believe so. I actually, there are, you know, different, I've heard two versions, that's why I didn't mention that. It is said that Mahaprabhu did, you know, carve these deities, but again, there is another explanation that is given by some locals there in Sri Rangam that this temple used to exist before also, and Mahaprabhu would go to see, you know, these deities. So there are both of them that are present, so we don't really know, but yeah, so both of them do exist.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mataji. And also, like you said, the son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, so then he took over as a king or no?
Yeah, he became the... See, the king was, at that time, he was... I'm not really sure whether he took up
because
the
even
king,
I
Maharaj Pratap Rudra.
Yeah, because what Mataji was saying, even I heard that till today... till today, that whosoever is being nominated as a king doesn't have a son. So
no. The one who is nominated as king, it's actually almost like a choosing that is done, a very kind of a special, you know, how should I say, a ceremony is done where the king, the next king of Orissa, is decided that who is going to be the next king of Orissa. You know,
elephant goes,
yeah, that's how the tradition goes. So Pratap Rudra Maharaj also came through such a selection, but he did have a son, you know.
Okay.
So criteria is not that, therefore it is not that his son ascended the throne after Maharaj Pratap Rudra. No. Mm-hmm. That after the Maharaj Pratap Rudra, someone else was selected by that criteria that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. how the things of Utkal are decided.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvir Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj Mataji. Very nice, beautiful class. So many, many pastimes you mentioned, Mataji. One thing which I was not aware, the Sarva Bhama Bhattacharya, I know, but he was a chief priest there at Jagannath Puri. That was a revelation. And the secret door that you mentioned, passageway from his home to the temple. And there are all descriptions of Dayanand, Ramananda Raya, and then the Imli Tala. Amazing, Mataji. So nice. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. All of these, my Prabhu was telling me all of this. I'm just, hearing from him. I hear from my spiritual masters, and I'm just repeating like a mindless parrot. So I'm just repeating whatever I've heard from all of them. I do see that Menaka Mataji asked a question here online, that who is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? And Sukhasagari did answer that question, but she deleted it. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is Brihaspati, the guru of Indra. Sukhasagari Mataji had answered that question, but I don't know why you deleted it. But thank you for answering that. And yes, he is, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is Brihaspati, who is the guru of all the devatas. Any more questions?
In that same line, Mataji, is Pratap Rudra also some form, Mataji?
Maharaj Pratap Rudra, let me see. Yes, he is actually Maharaj Indradumna.
Oh.
He's a manifestation of Maharaj Indradumna and a combination also, it is said, of Indra. King Indra came as Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So it's Indra Dev and Indradumna combination as Maharaj Pratap Rudra.
Thank you, Mataji. This is wonderful to me.
Ramananda Roy is, of course, Lalita Devi, Lalita Sakhi. So like this, very, very special personalities. Any more questions? All right, so we'll end here.
Namaste, this is Shyamala Gopika Mataji. I just texted my question in the chat. So I'm just repeating that.
Sorry. I do read it. Yes. Can you please tell a specific place name in Sriranga where Jagannath Temple is? There, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited. Okay. I don't know the name of the place, but you know where the Srirangam Temple is? That same street, if you just walk towards, on that same road, if you just keep walking down, there's the house of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and right opposite his house is this temple of Jagannath. So okay. It's on the same line as the Srirangam temple.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank and you. The other one which you mentioned, the tunnel, for the priest to go to the Jagannath Puri temple. So is that open for public now? If we go, whether we can able to go and visit?
Well, we were somehow very fortunate, actually, that the person who was there, we had actually visited with our Guru Maharaj and with Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. So we were very fortunate that because he was there, I think, the caretaker of the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he actually showed us, this place. So that, I mean, you can ask, and if they are, you know, because he showed us the living quarters also where Mahaprabhu used to stay in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for some time, and the room of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you know, that room is still there, and you know, the leaf, you know, the leaf, you know, they used to write the shastra in the leaf, right? The plant and leaves like that. So that also we actually had darshan of. So a lot of things there, and we were very fortunate to have that darshan. But you know, when you go to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya next time in Puri, you can try and ask them if they would be kind to show.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Any more questions? All right. If no more questions.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Once again, thank you so much for the beautiful class, Mataji. It was so beautiful, Mataji. And very much nice connections, Mataji. It is very difficult to remember all the connections, like the Chand Kasi Kamsa, and then Kadadar Panditi, Radharani, and all these, Mataji. It's very, very difficult. I don't know, we have to write and meditate on it, I guess, Mataji. Yeah, it's very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you once again, Mataji. Very beautiful class. Okay, if there are no more questions or comments for Mataji, let's offer obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarobhyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitana pavanebhyo वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय गुरु महाराज की जय थैंक यू सो मच माताजी फॉर द ब्यूटीफुल क्लास
थैंक यू
माताजी हरे कृष्ण